Praise the Lord.
Today we're going to continue to plan our vision for 2013 for St. John. There's some important ideas that are going to be discussed. There's some relevant scripture that's going to be read. And some key points are going to be delivered to help each of us move forward in the love of Almighty God. The goal today is to learn how to bring forth the good treasure of your heart each new day. Ultimately, I'll deliver God's truth to motivate you to live your life according to His Word in His will. We're going to start this message by reading from the 12th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 22. And we're going to read through verse 37. That's Matthew chapter 12. And if you can, if you've got a Bible there, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to begin at verse 22 and read through verse 37. We're going to read the account of a healing that Christ performed and the bad mouthing He received from the religious leaders of that time in response to the healing that He performed. My hope is that each of us will learn from their error and avoid it as we move into this new year. And again, that's Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 22 and reading through verse 37. Then one was brought to Him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and He healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, "Could this be the Son of David?" Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and every blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. This is something that is very interesting to me, because the religious leaders put a strong resistance up against the one that we call Jesus. They opposed Him both openly and discreetly. Many places in Scripture we find where they plotted His death long before they eventually killed Him. He didn't follow their rules, and that angered them. They were upset that He went against their grain. But the crowds were starting to see, as we read in this passage, that He was perhaps the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. The religious leaders badmouthed Him and said that He cast demons out by the ruler of the demons, Beelzebub. You know what I find interesting? It's written that Jesus knew their thoughts. They couldn't hide from Him. They couldn't conceal their deceit and deception and their anger and their frustration and all of the evil that resided in their hearts. He knew it. None of us can hide what is in our heart from Christ. None of us. They must have said it in their heart, and He knew that evil was there.
And there's a key point that I find just after that, where it's written, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Now, obviously, Christ was talking about their comment about him casting out demons by Beelzebub. He said, that's not possible. But you know, the enemy of souls wants to divide the people of God continuously. He does not want us to be a united body. He does not want us to be a united church. He does not want us to be united to one another. He wants to have us divided. And that he will accomplish by every means possible. And part of that is by what comes out of our mouths. We have to guard what comes out of our mouths. Almighty God wants unity here. The enemy wants division. Christ let them know that his work was done by the power and authority of the Spirit of God. His work is still being done even in this building, even this day, by the same Holy Spirit of Almighty God who empowers believers to overcome temptation. Almighty God wants unity. God's kingdom had come upon them, and those religious people were angry about it because now it was messing up their game. It wasn't going to be the same anymore, and they knew it. Christ let those religious leaders know that they were opposite of him. They were anti-Christ. And how is that? Because they stood against what he was doing. They stood against what he was doing. Those who oppose Christ are anti-Christ. That's a reality that we find all through Scripture, folks. He was gathering souls for God's kingdom, but they were scattering souls by their antagonism. Their opposition to the Holy Spirit, Christ said, was unforgivable. Unforgivable. They were not going to come into the fullness of what Christ had said would be the adoption, where we were brought in. They weren't even sons. They weren't even children of God anymore. They were out by their resistance. Let us not resist the Holy Spirit here at St. John's. He was gathering souls, and they were scattering. Their opposition was unforgivable. When God's Spirit is moving, we must not oppose Him. We must stand and embrace what God is bringing. Those who are Spirit-filled believers will walk by faith and not by sight. This is the good fruit from good trees. Walking by faith, knowing that God is doing the work and we're allowing Him to do that work, and we move along with Him. We see all through the New Testament period. We see all through the church age. God has never quit. He has never given up. He has always been there for His people. And we too can understand that He's with us. We can allow Him to move. We can allow Him to have His will in our lives. We can allow Him to have His way with us. Christ called his religious critics brood of vipers. And that's to say they're children of venomous snakes. Brood of vipers. Children of the devil. What came from their mouths was poisonous. They were evil and they spoke evil. And this is important for us to understand. When somebody is speaking evil, it's because it's in their heart. Jesus said this was because it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Evil heart equals evil speaking. There's no way around it. This brings me to another main idea that relates to St. John's for 2013. The heart of the people is seen in what they speak. Pay attention to what we say and we'll see what's in our hearts. To serve Almighty God, we must guard our hearts from evil. We absolutely must. It's critical. One good way to do that is to fill your heart with God's Word. To pour the Word of God in where it does the work and it purifies us from within. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. This is what Christ said. This is not Pastor John saying it. I'm simply repeating and rehearsing what Christ himself said. Pour the Word of God into your heart. Let it transform you by the renewing of your mind. Let the good Word of Almighty God come forth from your mouth in 2013. Let others hear you speak and sing forth praises of Almighty God to His glory. Christ said, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. That's Christ saying that. We will give an account of all the idle words that we speak. Jesus said, for by your words you're justified. Idle words are lazy, useless words, barren of the Holy Spirit. These are not spiritual words that we're speaking when we're speaking idly. Get God's Word into your heart. You can come out here on Sunday morning. We have a Bible study, Sunday school, whatever you want to call it, every Sunday morning. And we study the Word of God. We're looking right now at why should we study the Word of God? What's the point? Well, God's Word instructs us to study it, but if we don't study it, we're not going to learn that we are to study it. And we won't learn what it has to say for us. We won't learn that God is our shield, God is our buckler, God is our protector. How are we going to receive His protection if we don't run to Him for it? And where do we run to Him but in prayer and in His Word? And in fellowship like we are today. True believers will have speech that flows with the Spirit as we seek to build the kingdom of Almighty God to His glory. And sometimes that means rebuking. You look at what Jesus did. He rebuked the people that were out of God's will. He tried to bring them into line. But He said, this is unforgivable. What you're doing is unforgivable. And this is where we don't want to find ourselves. Anyone. We don't want to find anyone in this place of being unforgiven because of that total resistance, the total opposition to Christ. We have to avoid speaking anything that's not edifying another or glorifying God. Your words reveal the condition of your heart, folks. Listen to what you're saying and look at your heart as the words come out of your mouths. You have to avoid speaking anything that's not edifying another or glorifying God. And this doesn't mean that we're to add flowery language to whatever we're saying or insincere kindness. As I said, Jesus rebuked the religious leaders that were out of line. He tried to bring them back into line. True believers will have that spiritual flow of Christ. The good treasure of our heart will be observed in the uplifting way that we speak, even if we must rebuke another. But we don't rebuke them behind their back. We rebuke them to their face. We speak to them directly, deliberately, intentionally, with the words of God, not with our own. It includes honoring God through everything that we say and how we speak about another to others. And now one of the most important things, I think, in this message is that one of the most destructive things in any church is gossip. The Bible has a lot of terms for people who gossip, and they're called backbiters, busybodies, slanderers, talebearers, and whisperers. Look at what's written in Matthew 15, verses 19 and 20. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. What comes out of our heart reveals the condition of our heart, and Christ Himself says we will be defiled by those very things. Christ put evil thoughts and false witness and blasphemies into the same defiling category as murder and thefts and sexual immorality. Blasphemies is from the Greek word that means to slander, detraction, speech that's injurious to another's good name. And this is gossip. And it hurts people. It hurts people, and it's serious offense according to the author and finisher of our faith. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, it's written, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Almighty God hates gossiping. That's a reality we can't get away from. If we're going to be followers of Christ, we must bring the truth of Christ to others in our lives. Gossip is hearsay, it's rumor, and oftentimes it's false or mistaken. And I thought about starting out with the children by whispering in one of their ears and having them whisper to the other and then to the other and to the other. We've all participated in that at some time in our lives. Whispering, sharing something. Yeah, I tell a truth. And then somebody tells that to someone else, and they tell it to someone else, and they tell it to someone else. And by the time it comes back to me, guess what? It's completely different. And the same would happen if we did it in this room today. If I whispered to Bert, and he whispered to Courtney, and she whispered to Raymond, and it went through this room, by the time it came back, it would be completely different than what I said. That's the problem with gossip, because we're sharing things that are not true. It's a false witness. Absolutely false. It may have started out true. There may be an element of truth in it, but it's not the truth. And we, as followers of Christ, must bring forth the truth of Almighty God. We must. It's critical, especially in these times and the way that the world is going. We must be held to the truth with a firm foundation in Christ. Divulging secrets that are not the business of others is evil. Speaking about somebody maliciously behind their back is evil. None of us have any right to repeat something that we heard about someone else or that could be used to negatively influence others. If you aren't directly involved in seeking a solution, you have no business talking about it to others. That's a reality. That's a biblical fact. If you're directly involved and you're seeking a solution, then asking for help is okay. But telling all is not. It's not necessary to give all the details. If somebody needs help, then you give them the help that they need. Do good unto the household of faith. Do good unto the brethren. There's a lot of Bible verses that directly condemn gossip, and there's a lot of others that instruct us to do exactly the opposite. Consider what's written in Proverbs 21:23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. This is true on both sides of eternity. In Proverbs 20 and verse 19, it's written, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Leviticus 19:16 tells us not to spread gossip and rumors. And the Bible refers to those that indulge in the practice of that sin of gossip as worthless, perverse, wicked, hateful, and fools. I don't want to be hateful. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be wicked. I don't want to be perverse. I don't want to be worthless, and I don't believe any of you want to either. James chapter 3 tells us that the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. So I'm not just going to give you the problem, because there is a problem there. It's all over the world. Everybody gossips. How can we remove gossiping from our lives and bring forth the good treasure from our heart? Well, first of all, we've got to have good treasure in our heart. And where are we going to find that but by the Word of God? Consider what's written in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then in Psalm 34:13, it's written, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. What is it that gossip is if it isn't deceit? Because it isn't the absolute truth. If Mary tells Jane that George did something, at that moment, it may or may not be true. But Jane doesn't know unless Jane was there. And Jane can't go and tell Susie what Mary said without giving false witness. Pay attention to what you say. It reveals your heart condition. Consider what is written in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. We were just talking about silver in our Bible study this morning. Silver purified. Purified. It's pure. Choice silver. The tongue of the righteous. Remember Proverbs 17 and verse 4, an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. Don't listen to false, spiteful people. Don't listen. Heed 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, it instructs us not to be a busybody in other people's matters. Speak of God's righteousness and of His praise all the day long. Remember 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, for the one desiring to love life and to see good days, let him restrain his tongue from evil, even his lips not to speak guile. If this wasn't an important subject back, if it was important then, it's important now. If it wasn't so important, we wouldn't find passage after passage after passage that tells us the importance of keeping our tongue clear and clean, keeping our hearts pure. That what would come out of us would be pure. What we would witness to the world would be pure. It's critical. It's really important to the body of Christ. This is one area that Satan uses to destroy churches. I remember a church that Chris and I attended up at her parents' place up in Sagertown. The preacher decided to quit. He quit on the Sunday that we were there. And you know why he quit? Because of gossip. He told the people, I told you to quit gossiping. Right there. And just like I'm talking to you all, he just said, that's it. He threw it down. He said, I'm out of here. And that stuck with me. I thought, you know what? There's a real problem in churches when people gossip because they're saying things that aren't true. We must be about the truth. Speak of God's righteousness and His praise all day long. Pray, pray. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's Psalm 141:3. Pray it. Pray for God to put a watch at your mouth, to put a guard on your lips, so that you don't speak anything that's untrue. We're all, it's a possibility for all of us. Remember that it's written in Jude that God is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Ask Him and count on Him to do that. Ask Him to pull you out of that. Count on Him to relieve you of gossiping. Doing good to others comes from love. And think about what's written in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ must be receiving the best from you, whatever that is. Gossip is the opposite of good, and it's the opposite of Christ-likeness. Remember Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 29 and 30 instructs us to let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. These are not suggestions, folks. These are instructions that benefit every member of the body of Christ. Each and every one of us, I know, I believe each and every one of us has at some time in our lives been the one who's received the brunt of somebody's gossip. And you had to clear it up somehow. No, that's not what happened. No, it's not like that. No, what they said is not true. Well, they heard it from so-and-so, and they heard it from so-and-so, and they heard it from, well, you know what, by the time you get to the third so-and-so, it's too late. It's a lie. Paul warned Timothy about women who learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but gossips and busybodies, saying things that they ought not. Corrupt words from the mouth of people grieve the Holy Spirit. These days, people wander about from house to house, saying things they ought not to by telephone. Real easy, pick up the phone and wander to somebody else's house. Text messaging, emails, Twitter, Facebook, and other social media. Just post it out there and the whole world knows that you are a gossip. That's what's happening. I've observed it myself. So I have to ask, what are some practical ways to get gossip out of our lives? All of us are susceptible to getting involved in this sin, but we can pray the words of Job 27:4. My lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Stop the speaker when they say something like, I heard, or I was told, or so-and-so said, or guess what I heard. Any of those other setups for those juicy bits of evil speaking that tease the ears of others. James chapter 1 and verse 21 is where we find written, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Remind others what is written in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Speak evil of no one. Be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Don't associate yourselves with those who gossip, inside or outside of the church. When gossip starts, change the subject or ask questions. And you know what I ask? First question I ask, were you there? When my wife will tell me something, you know, da 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 da, and I'll say, were you there? If you were not there, you do not know that for fact. It is not a fact. You ask, we've got an attorney in the building here. You ask an attorney, if you get on the stand and you say something that's hearsay, guess what happens to it? Wiped out. Not admissible. And so when somebody comes to you with hearsay, treat it like you're on trial. You're standing before Christ and somebody said this and you're going to repeat it. Is it admissible or not? It's not if it's hearsay. Okay? That's a fact. And then I ask him, how can I help to improve this? Why are you telling me this? What can I do with it? How can I make the world a better place with this piece of information? Can I or can I not? If I cannot, I don't want it. Thank you. I appreciate you wanting to share with me, but this isn't going to benefit me or anybody else, so please keep it to yourself. Am I always perfect on that? No, folks, and that's why I'm preaching as hard as I am, because I need to hear the message too. God has pointed that out to me. Now, anybody who gives me anything in confidence, anybody here who ever has, knows that I hold it in absolute confidence and it doesn't get shared even with my wife. And that way it doesn't go anywhere else. So I give it to God. And Him, I will tell. Nobody else. And therein sometimes lies the answer for all of us. We can share with God in prayer. We can go to His Word and look for the solution to the problem. I also ask other questions. Have you prayed about it? Have you spoken with them about it? And I'm sure there'll be other questions that you could pose to someone if they come to you with a piece of gossip after telling them to stop. If you've developed a bad habit of gossiping, turn to Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Surrender to Him. Ask the immortal healer for a heart transplant. Let Him remove that heart that runs to evil and replace it with a heart that wants to faithfully serve Him. If you're victimized by gossip, Matthew chapter 18 is where we find written what Christ taught about going to people and settling our differences. Go directly to them. Don't run to somebody on the telephone or on a text message or through an email or through Twitter or Facebook or any other social media and say, "Oh, do you believe this is what happened to me?" Go to the individual and say, "You know what? I've got a little bit of a problem here. I hope you understand. I need to address it. Let's address this face to face." If you're victimized, then you can tell them their sin. Ask them to repent. But if they refuse, then you bring somebody else. And maybe in these times, it's good to bring somebody else first. So you know what? This has happened. And we need to address it. We need to arrive at a solution. If they still refuse, then you have to tell the church. That's not easy for any of us. Wouldn't be easy for me. And you can pray what's written in Psalm 120 in verse 2. If you're a victim of gossip, pray, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." And remember what Jesus said, "Just as you want men to do to you, you also do them likewise." If you want people to gossip about you, go ahead and keep on gossiping. But if you don't, stop the gossip in its tracks. For the same measure that you use will be measured back to you. That's what our Lord says. As I wrap this up, I want to encourage each of you to heed the word of Christ in 2013. Model Christ in your life. Avoid being like the religious leaders of that time. They had religion, but they opposed Christ. They didn't have a relationship with Almighty God. To improve our vision of St. John's in 2013, I believe we must welcome and embrace the Holy Spirit in this congregation. God's moving. Let's not chase Him out. God's moving. Let's embrace Him. Let's welcome Him. Remember that it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. For our true heart is seen in what we speak, seen in what we say. Fill your heart with God's Word. Fill it with God's Word. And then remember that out of the abundance of what's in your heart will come out of your mouth. You pour God's Word in, God's Word will come out. And this is speaking the truth in love that will improve this body of believers here that meets in this building. Seek to build the kingdom of God. Fill your heart with God's Word. Let your speech flow with the Holy Spirit. The good treasure of your heart will be seen in the uplifting way that you speak, even if it's necessary to rebuke somebody face to face. Can you imagine what would transform in the world if everybody were honest? Speak evil of no one, it's written in Titus. Be peaceable, gentle, show humility to all. The Bible doesn't have anything good to say about gossips or gossip. Nothing good. Christ put evil thoughts and false witness and blasphemies into the same defiling category as murder and thefts and sexual immorality. Remember that Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 and 30 instructs us to let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed the day of redemption. Follow these instructions, and it will benefit every member of this congregation. Every single member of this congregation can benefit from this. Turn to the immortal healer for a heart transplant. Ask Him to give you a new heart. Ask Him to purify your heart like silver. And then you'll see out of the good treasure of your heart, you will bring forth good things. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You. I ask that You would be our vision for 2013 here at St. John's. Even whenever the message is difficult, Lord, when it's hard for me to preach, I thank You for giving me the ability, for empowering me to bring forth Your truth from Your Word, Lord, that it would not be what I think or I believe or whatever I heard, but that I see it in Your Word and that it is true. And I bring it forth, Lord, with love, praying that you will purify our hearts, that we would be like silver that's tried and true. That in us, like the silversmith, when he looks in and sees his face, you will look into our hearts and you will see the reflection of your goodness. And I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.